For a few moments this morning, I'd like to speak on this subject, 10 qualities of a great woman. I rarely give my title before, but I'm going to tell it to you now because I want you to know, first of all, that I got 10 qualities that I'm going to give you. And I want you to get nervous about that. No, I don't want you to get nervous. I won't take long. But I want to say this, that I'm sharing this message on Mother's Day on purpose. And let me just be pretty direct. We need to open the Bible to figure this out because we're not going to learn that from the world. Okay. Now listen, I don't want to be political because we're not a political church, we're a biblical church. But we are never going to learn the qualities of a great woman with the aid of our world and this crazy feminist movement. And when the pastor started looking above his glasses, you know he's real serious now. You don't need a movement to be a great woman. There were great women in the world way before we ever had movements. And by the way, I'm for equality. I'm for rights. I'm for lack of discrimination. I'm for people being treated right. I'm for none of it at the expense of biblical principles. Amen. And any time a woman's right supersedes the right for a child to live, it's a right she doesn't have. Amen. Preach, Pastor. We're still in the Bible. And I won't tell every one of you young ladies in the building today. You do not need to go out to the world and acquiesce to its successes in order to be a great woman. Thank God for the accomplishments. We heard about someone get a PhD. I heard about another lady in our church, Domicile Smirkoff, just recently graduated with her doctorate of nurse practitioner in education. Right now, applying to be a dean, to teach. We praise the Lord for the successes. We got young ladies that graduate from college, graduate from high school. We praise the Lord for recently we had one of our church members was promoted to the rank of colonel. We praise the Lord for Cecily, Colonel Odom. We celebrate all of that. But guess what? That doesn't make them great women. They're great women and they're doing that because they are. Amen. We thank the Lord for that. And you don't have to be a colonel or get your PhD or be a great woman. Father, you don't even have to have a job. Be a great woman. Some of you women might go around, go somewhere to the mall and somebody say, what do you do? Well, I stay at home, raise my kids. And say, that's all you do. Listen to me. You look at that woman and say, you must not never did it. Say amen, every man to try one day to do it. I don't know about you, I got to go to work to get a vacation. Amen. Well, you said the washer start beeping, the dishwasher start beeping, the smoke alarm go off, got smoke coming from the stove. You know, the floor got to be swept, vacuumed, the kid. Then you talking about homeschool? Child, please. Thank God for great women that will mirror Titus chapter 2, keepers of the house. And we're not anti-career, but our world is suffering. Our children are suffering from absenteeism of women, too, not just fathers. And may God help us to go back to the book and find out qualities of a great woman. Have we set the stage for preaching time? Now, let's get the text so you don't think I'm making it up. Verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Are you there? Say amen. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem. Where was a what? What's her name? What's her name? Huh? What's her name? No. I know that's what she is. But what's her name? Woman. Oh, Lord. Go home and try to use that, brother. Hey, look here. She don't even have a name. She's a great woman. We don't even know what her name is. Listen, you're not a great woman based on your last name. You're a great woman based on the nature of your life. You don't agree with that, baby? So it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Let the church say, amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. We pray that you will use me to be a blessing to these thy people. Help us, Lord. Anyone here is not saved today, might that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth. I love you, Lord. And my desire is to be completely yours. Bless us because we're asking in that beautiful name, that wonderful name, that powerful name, that holy name, that sweet name, that majestic name, that mighty name, that great name, that only name by which mankind can be saved. The name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Stand. Amen. There's a great woman in Shunem. The Bible calls her a great woman. How many know if the Bible calls her a great woman, she's a great woman? For the ladies in the building today, would the Bible call you a great woman? We're not just talking about whether or not you're married, whether or not you have children, whether or not you have a successful career. We're talking about whether or not, based on the standards of the Word of God, you qualify as a great woman. Don't we want our young ladies to aspire to greatness that is defined by a credible source? There are a lot of women in our world today that would be labeled great women. Others have given them that title. They're viewed by that esteem. They would be looked up to. They would be admired. They are laced in the pages of our history books. But when you mirror their lives with the Bible, they fail miserably by what the Bible defines as greatness. And then there are those that the world would disdain, those that the world would mock, some that the world would ridicule because, after all, they don't mirror what the world would call luster, glitter, glitz, and fame. They'll never be labeled as an inventor. They'll never climb the ladder of elite education. They may never make a bunch of money. They may never be known by the general public. They may never have a page in Wikipedia. They may never be called who's who in America. They may never be on television. They may never be interviewed. They may never sign an autograph. They may never have a Hollywood star, but their life mirrors the principles of the Word of God. We celebrate them today because the Bible said that's a great woman. The man of God that God has ordained for that day, the voice of God to the king, the voice of God to a wicked culture, the voice of God in a world full of people that could not get a hold of God. Suffice it to say, the ministry of the prophet in the book of Kings was a vital one. Could I say to you, the ministry of the man of God in 2022 is still a vital one. And somehow the providence of God spends his life with a great woman. I'm so thankful that over the years at Crossroads Baptist Church, over and over and over again, my life, my ministry, my existence has been enhanced, inspired, increased, and bettered by God's providence spinning me with the lives of great women. Thank God for all of the women that serve here at Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm talking about the women that are down in the nursery. I'm talking about the women that teach classes. I'm talking about the women that help out with discipleship. I'm talking about the women that organize our functions. I'm talking about the women that teach other women. I'm talking about the women that work in our daycare. I'm talking about the women that serve meals for people when they're in the hospital, and for husbands and children when their families are hurt, and for others when they are bereaved. I'm talking about the women who pray their pastors pastor through. I'm talking about the prayer groups that are meeting throughout the week. I'm talking about the women that are in the prisons that are witnessing and discipling. The women that are interpreting so that others can understand the truth. I'm talking about women that sing in the choir. I'm talking about women that help in the sound booth. I'm talking about women that read through missionary letters. I'm talking about women that answer the phone, that keep my schedule. I'm talking about women that stand behind their husbands while many of them get the acclaim and they are unrecognized and unknown. I'm talking about women that stand in their place. They don't look for greatness, and that's perhaps why they're so great. Here's this woman. God, on a regular day, let Elisha go to Shunem, where was a great woman. What about this great woman? Quality number one, real compassion. She recognized here comes a man of God. As soon as she sees the man of God, he goes in, he eats bread. Notice what she says to her husband. I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passed by us continually. In other words, Elisha was coming through there often. And often when he passed by, this woman recognized that he was passing by. She saw he was a good woman. And she says to her husband, let us make a chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. I go to church for some time and they say, you don't have to worry about a hotel. We have a prophet's chamber. That's where they get this from. Prophet's chamber. Let us make them a little chamber. I'm beginning to find out they're mirroring it according to 2 Kings chapter 4. Most of them only have a bed, a candlestick, a stool, and me. I prefer the hotel, but I do like the original one. It was better than what Elisha was getting. But nonetheless, she says, honey, let's make him a listen to me. Here's a woman that's got compassion. She sees the need and takes the lead. I'm thankful here at Crossroads Baptist Church for women with real compassion. That see what men, we ought to be saying amen. That see the need and take the, listen to me, young ladies, you want to be a great woman, you have real compassion. You see people that are burdened. You see people that are going through difficulty. You see people that are in adversity. You see people that are going through trouble. You see people that need to be fed. You see people that need to be helped. You see people that need to be nurtured. You step up with real compassion. Number two, responsive commitment. Responsive commitment. She not only saw the need, but she said to her husband, let's do something about it. That's the difference between sympathy and compassion. Matthew chapter 9, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Sympathy means I see you, I feel sorry for you. Compassion means I see your need and I'm doing something about it. Hey, let me tell you something. We got enough sympathy in the world. We need some more compassion that is coupled with commitment. Honey, let's make a chamber. Responsive commitment. Notice number three, respectable comportment. Verse number 9, she said unto her husband. Anybody see that? I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber. The Bible didn't say she went and made a chamber. She asked her husband, let's make a chamber. That's respectable about it. By the way, it's not because he's better than her. It's not because she's less than he is. It's not because he's superior and she's inferior. It's because this is a woman with a respectable comportment that understands that God has designed an order in the home. Did I lose some of you? This is a lady in 2 Kings chapter 4. That respected the role of her husband and respected her role to her husband. You say, well, she shouldn't have to ask. Listen, when you start talking like that, you might, don't get married. Listen, who in the world goes looking for a husband who doesn't want to be led? By the way, fellas, you better be careful if you're marrying someone who doesn't want to be led. I said, you better be careful marrying someone who doesn't want to be led. And we say, well, she don't want to be led. Well, you better make sure you're led by Jesus if you want her to be led by you. Preach, pastor. Got a day and age of people. I don't get me a husband, but I'm telling you right now, he ain't going to. Don't get you a husband. Go ahead with your bad self. What in the world? This world. I mean, listen. You can't decide you want to get married and redefine marriage. You can't decide you want a husband and then decide what you want your husband to be. God already did that before you were born. Amen. And listen to me. It's not about her, him cracking the whip. And it's not about him saying, you can't do anything unless you add. You can't breathe. God help these husbands that the wife can't even walk out the door. Get up in the shopping line and up there crossing her fingers, hoping the card to go through and all this foolishness. Listen to me. Why in the world would you want to put your wife in a situation like that? Thank goodness this woman felt comfortable enough going to her husband and saying, let's do something for the Lord. God help us when women get moved by God to do something. They go to old deadbeat husband and he don't want to do anything. God, the Holy Ghost is speaking to her and he's too out of touch with God to let him speak to him. God help us to have husbands and wives that a husband say, honey, if God's leading you, I'm going to help you do what God's led. We're in this thing together. God give us women who have enough respect for a man to say, I respect your leadership. If I didn't, I shouldn't have married you. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm not going to get you in place by yakking either. I'm going to wear a meek and quiet spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3. Read it. And by the way, since I'm preaching, it's an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You don't buy trees in the woods with ornaments on them. They don't grow that way. You buy ornaments from the store and you hang them on. When I ain't just one of them quiet women, hang it on. Listen, if you think this message is going to work on the news, then just forget about it. I never was trying to preach to get on the news. Amen. I'm not trying to preach to get on the news. I'm trying to preach the good news. Amen. And there's good news. You line up with the word of God, God will bless you for it. I'm just not the Sarah type. I ain't going to be calling my husband Lord. It ain't about what you call him. It's how you treat him. It ain't about what you call him. It's how you treat him. I'm trying to tell you the truth when marriage is under attack. Amen. You want to look at these Hollywood marriages. Listen, you don't want to look at, you better look at something from the Bible. If I wanted to figure out how something worked, I'd ask the guy who made it. Great women have a respectable comportment. There's nothing impressive or attractive about a marriage where a woman clearly demonstrates she's running the show. It has nothing to do with personality. I grew up in the home of a strong personality woman. And unbeknownst to you, whether you think it or not, I live with one too. Don't let that little high yellow skin fool you. Biblical principles have nothing to do with personal character traits. Amen. Well, I'm just not the quiet. It has nothing to do. I'm having an assertive personality. I don't have anything to do. This has to do with the relinquishing of your will, the aligning of the scripture, and the doing things the way God wants them to be done. And I have found out by experience, by teaching, by counseling, by reading, by watching, women want to be led. They just want to be led by a man who knows where he's going. And for heaven's sake, don't pull out the parking lot first if you don't know where the restaurant is. If you want to live lost with nobody behind you. I'm trying to get through these 10 principles. She was such a blessing to the man of God that the man of God said, what can we do for her? I'm moving quickly. Go back and read this when you get some time. This is what his servant said. His servant said, she doesn't have a child. Remember verse number 13? Behold, thou hast been careful with us. This is the man of God repaying her. What is it you want us to do for thee? What do you want to be spoken to the king or the captain of the host? She said, I dwell among my own people. Talk about humility. Let that have been somebody today. Oh, you offering me something from the king? Give me a new kitchen. Give me a new car. Give me a new. Listen. This is a great woman, and she's a great woman. She's not a hustler. She's not looking for what she can get on people. I dwell with my own people. I'm not doing what I do for what I get. I'm doing what I do because I love to. But notice what he says. Verily she hath no child, verse 14. Call her when she stood at the door. Verse 16. This season thou shalt embrace a son. In so many words, here's what you're going to do. Since you don't want to ask for something, I'm going to give you something better than what you'd even ask for. God's going to bless you with a son. Here's what I call reasonable candor of a great woman. Notice her response to Elisha when he says you're going to have a son. Name my Lord. Verse number 16. Thou man of God. Do not lie until I have. Now here go a great woman. She has a way to tell you the truth. In a way you got to listen. She said, I'm going to give you a son. She said, look at here, preacher man. Don't you lie to me. How many of you notice the most straightforward creature on planet Earth is a woman. Looks you in the face. And in so many words says, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. How many of us sons are glad we were raised by some women that had a way to look you in the face and tell you the truth while telling you, you better tell me the truth. Put your hand up. Amen. How many of you glad to be married to a wife like that? Sometimes you don't want to hear it, you know. Everybody telling you, you the best thing since sliced bread. Sometimes. Let me hush. Anyway. I laugh. I go preach at these churches, you know, and it's a practice of when you preach at churches. Sometimes preachers sign Bibles, you know, just to put a verse in there and encourage people. And it's a good accountability for me. I always tell people, you haven't signed your Bible. I want you to know the signature ain't worth nothing. I'm honored to do it. And it's a great accountability for me. But you know what? I've never come home from a service and got in the car and my wife said, honey, will you sign my Bible? Sometimes you need to go. Sometimes you need to walk in the house and come back to reality. Come on. And be reminded at the end of the day, I don't care what everybody else thinks you are. Just be my husband. Just be my daddy. Notice what happens after this. The woman conceived, bore a son. Verse 18, son was out in the field. Verse 19, my head. Something happened. I want you to notice the response of daddy when the boy is having a life-threatening, traumatic experience. His only son that he's had after they couldn't have children. His wife has been barren. The boy is working out in the hot sun with him. My head, I'm about to pass out. Daddy, I don't know what to do. I want you to notice how this concerned daddy responds. Verse number 19. Carry him to his mother. Put your hand up, husbands. Daddy, my temperature is 108. Go see your mom. I cut my hand. I'm bleeding profusely all over. I could bleed to death. Go show it to your mom. I waste something on my suit right before I go do the performance that's going to give me my best grade to make sure that I can graduate from high school. Go see your mom. Men, we don't know how to get no stains out of no shirts. Go see your mom. Reliable character. I'll tell you what a great woman is. She's a woman that a husband and her children can count on. Come on, say amen if you got one of those. Come on, man. Good gracious alive. My wife went out of town one time and the kid there. And the girl said, these girls were young. He said, we need our hair to be fixed. I said, what? You want some curls or something? And I took the comb and I just started spinning it around like this. I said, I don't know what's wrong with this hair. It won't curl. Don't you got some rollers you can put in there or something? I went to my barber shop today. I said, listen, ma'am, I need you to do my daughter's hair in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, aren't you glad you got a wife you can count on? Aren't you glad you got your children got a mother? Listen, I'm glad when I was laying in the hospital, I had a wife I could count on. Reliable character. Notice verse number 20. When he brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees, what? Till noon. Wow. Talk about remaining care. You know what a woman will do? Stay with the child all the way to the end. Stay beside her husband no matter what. Laid on her knees. Where's Daddy? Still out in the field working. Boy, listen, I can't tell you how many times I have been at court standing on the behalf of a young man, 25, 30, 35 years old, who's made a horrible mistake, disrespected his mom, treated her like she was dead. You know where she is? In there crying, putting up the money for the lawyer, writing a letter of his character and asking God to forgive her for lying. Her and me. Are you listening? You know why? Because you can't do nothing with a mother's love. Notice what happens. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. She caught, took him to that chamber where the man of God stayed. Laid him down on the bed, shut the door and went, called her husband. And she called him again. Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. Listen with the husband. Honey, how you gonna bother the preacher today? It's not new moon. It's not Sabbath. It's not one of them regular days when the preacher. Now, I want you to notice the woman, verse number 23. It shall be well. Let me break it down to you. He's saying, you really shouldn't bother the preacher today. Here's what the woman said. He'll be all right. That's confident. Hey, listen, look, here's what she's saying. Listen, when it comes to the life of my child, nothing is off the table. Listen to me. Children, mamas, don't you ever give up. Have enough confidence to say, even when others say it's over, it can't be done, ain't no use in trying anymore. Have enough confidence to know if God is alive, there's always hope. Verse 24. Notice what the Bible says. She saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. This is old English. She got on the donkey with the husband, and in so many words, she said, speed, break every law, and don't slow down unless I tell you to. That's relentless. Listen, you won't find anybody more relentless than a great woman who says, I have a cause, and it needs to be done, and I don't care how tired I am, how broke I am, how discouraged, I don't care how many people I got to pass. Listen to me. You drive as fast as you can, and don't slow down. Notice remarkable connections. They get to the man of God. When she came to the man of God, verse number 27. Gehazi came near. Here comes the servant. The man of God said, leave her alone. Her soul's vexed. The Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. 28. I desired a child. I told you. Don't lie to me, man of God. Did you give me a son just for him to die? He said to Gehazi, take my staff. Thine hand, go thy way. If you meet any man, don't stop to salute anybody. 29, anybody salute thee, don't answer. Lay my staff on the face. In other words, servant, get up there as fast as you can and put my staff on the baby. My staff on the son. Verse number 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Notice verse 31. Gehazi passed on, put the staff. Listen, Gehazi's staff wasn't strong. Listen to me. She didn't need a servant. She needed the man of God. Remarkable connection. I tell you what's remarkable about this woman. She knew how to get through to God. Remember, the prophet was God's representation on earth. When people wanted to speak to God, they went through the prophet. When God wanted to speak to the people, God spoke through the prophet. Listen to me. Here was a great woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 who knew how to get through to God. Let me tell you something. We don't need great women in America today who just know how to do fancy things and know how to be popular and know how. Listen, we need some great women in our world, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches who know how to get through to God. Verse 37, resounding conclusion. Elisha gets the son, stretches himself on the child, walked to and fro, went and stretched himself again. Verse 35, the child sneezed seven times. Seven is the number of completion. Somebody say amen. Of perfection. The child opened his eyes, called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come up, he said unto her, take up thy son. She went in, fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Resounding. I'll tell you something about a great woman. Not only does she know how to get through to God, but it's just something about a great woman. It just seems like all around them, great conclusions happen. Here was a woman. Her husband had concluded, the boy's gone. Gehazi tried and nothing happened. Elisha stretched himself out at first and still he didn't sneeze. Notice he stretched himself again 7 times. Isn't it amazing that here's a great woman that received a resounding conclusion? I don't know about you. Over the years, one of the greatest joys I've experienced as a pastor is to know that great women of God are praying for me. I mean, I'm talking about they know how to get through. But I had a praying grandmother, you know. And I did. I remember we stayed over at my grandmother's house. If we were there on a Sunday morning, you could walk past her door on a Sunday morning. There are 2 things you could hear. Number one, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. They'd be playing every Sunday morning. And then you could hear her praying on her knees, calling out to God. She'd write notes to us at Christmas time, and they'd be long notes of prayer. Come on now. Listen to me. Long after that toy breaks that you got under the tree, the prayers of your grandmother will keep on giving. God help us. In these last days, we find modeled and showcased in our world so much nonsense. What do our little girls have to look up to? No wonder the innocence that ladies used to lose at the marriage altar, they're losing it now at 11 and 12. What we're teaching them in the schools. Come on. What little protection we're giving them in the public arena, where we can't even guarantee that when they step away to use the restroom, that they'll only find other girls in it. What we are showcasing to them by this confusion and the blurring of the gender lines. How do we combat this firestorm of ideology and philosophy that seems to be ravaging our world and annihilating all of our absolutes? I'll tell you how. One by one, we need great women. Who will live it? Who will live it? Titus chapter 2 makes it very clear. The aged women should teach the younger women. Come on now. That's how we're going to learn in Crossroads Baptist Church. Older women need to teach young. And by the way, that's a relative statement. Because guess what, 22-year-old? You qualify as an aged woman if you're teaching a 15-year-old. Come on now. Let's give our 8-year-olds some 13-year-olds to look up to. Let's give our 13-year-olds some 20-year-olds to look up to. Let's give our 20-year-olds some 30-year-olds to look up to. Let's give our 30-year-olds some 50-year-olds to look up to. Let's give our singles some married women to look up to. Let's give our married women some seasoned saints, some widows to look up to. May they never have to turn on the TV or surf the internet to find greatness. May they be able to take their Bible in the middle of the service and look across the auditorium and go, there's a great woman. There's a great woman. There's a young great woman. There's an up-and-coming great woman. We see it mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 4. You and I have been very positively affected by the ministering example of great women. And in whatever days we have left on planet Earth, may God give us a revival, a renewed supply of great women. And may that greatness begin right here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Father, thank you for your word today.